I'm sorry to interrupt all the happy conversation. I sort of just wanted to stand up here and listen because it's so good to hear all this chatter and connection. Welcome to First Baptist Church. We're glad you're here. It's so good to be together, isn't it? We especially welcome those of you who may be visiting with us for the first time, and we hope that you will find yourselves at home here. Also, a special welcome to those of you who have been traveling or away for some other reason. We ourselves are also back, Paul and I and our family, after some vacation time, and I can't tell you how good it is to be back home in our community of faith. It's such a great community and place to come back to. And welcome back to our choir.
Thank you.
We've had some wonderful musicians share their gifts in our worship service this summer, but we're always happy when our choir is back up there in that hot loft. Thank you, choir. We do invite all of you, whether you are first-time visitors or long-time attenders or something in between, to take some time this morning and fill out the connection card, and you can put that in the offering plate when it comes by later in the service. I also invite you to take some time this morning to look through the announcements related to congregational life. We're getting ready to start up a brand new church program year, and there will be lots going on in the very near future. Now is the time to bring our hearts, our hopes, and our lives to the living God, who is already and always in our midst. And so we worship.
Please stand as you are able. Good and gracious God, you have brought us together in this holy place. Open our hearts and minds to what you have to tell us. Open our spirits to receive your love, and open our lives to one another in fellowship. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
hosts. Swallow a nest where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts.
Happy are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion.
The Lord withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly, O Lord of hosts. Happy is everyone who trusts in you.
Together we listen now to words from the New Testament letter called to the Ephesians. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of God's power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Before we say our prayers together, I have a couple of pieces of news from our church family. One is that Omer Robbins has been taken into or received into hospice care. We just received that word yesterday. So we continue our prayers for him and for his family at this time. And also early this morning, we received news that Richard Bates passed away. And to Larry and Kathy, who are here, and to the rest of his family, we love you. We're so sorry for your loss, which is our shared loss. So we keep the Bates family in our prayers at this time. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, in the beauty of these late summer days, your glory is obvious when we have the eyes to see. We praise you and we thank you and we confess to you that we often don't see or trust or respond. We imagine that you are distant and inaccessible, but every day you move toward us. Every day is an invitation for us to move towards you. We recognize that time is fleeting, and so we ask that this very day, this very moment, you would help us make a fresh start. Help us take a new step towards you, towards love, towards hope, towards joy. Help us let go of anything that would hinder us, anything that has burdened us. Help us to give to you our regrets, our shame, our sadness, our failures, our fear, our sin. Take it all and help us not to take it back. Take it all and work the power of your renewing love in our lives. Trusting the power of that love, we bring you our prayers. We pray for those who are hungry in body or in spirit. We pray for those who are lonely or sick, for those who grieve, for those who wander, for those who are lost. We pray for the powerful and for the disempowered and for the abused. We pray for children everywhere. We pray for your good earth. We also pray for those we know to name before you now who have special need. We pray for the family and friends of Richard Bates. We pray for the family and friends of Kathleen Burton. We pray for Omer Robbins, Lynn Blunt, Doris George, Bill McKeachy, Jim Suits, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Colin Campbell, Peter Mortensen, Saw Naiman, Liz and Micah Dalton, Robert L. For Danny Jones in the loss of his little brother, for the whole Jones family, for John Wallace, Jim Terrace, for Peter, Louise, and Skylar, for Pat Murphy, and in gratitude for Joe and Pete. We also lift to you our private prayers in silence now. Loving God, you know us more intimately than we can imagine. Give us the grace to trust not only your knowledge of us, but your love for us. And give us the grace to live our lives out of that trust, that we might magnify your love in everything we do. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus, who trusted you most and magnified you best, and who taught us how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand as you are able for the reading of our gospel. In this reading, Jesus is speaking to his disciples who had complained that his teaching was difficult to accept. Here is the gospel according to John. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you, there are some who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father. Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, Do you also wish to go away? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. The word of the Lord. You may be seated, and I invite the children to come forward as we sing.
Thinking about a story about a frog. It's called Froggy Gets Dressed by Jonathan London, and this is what happens. This froggy is getting ready to go play in the snow. This is a weird time to be talking about snow, although I'm kind of in the mood for snow today. But the snow, the froggy's getting ready for the snow, and he gets on his coat and he runs outside, and his mom says, oh, Froggy! And the froggy comes back and she says, Froggy, you forgot your snow pants. So the froggy puts on his snow pants, and then he puts back on his coat and goes out to play, ready to make a snowball when he hears, oh, Froggy! Oh, what did I forget now? And the froggy comes running back. Oh, you forgot your hat. Oh. Now, Froggy does a weird thing. Froggy takes off his snow pants, and he takes off his coat. Then he puts it on his hat. Then he puts on his coat. Then he puts on his snow pants again. He goes out to play. Oh, he is just about to make a snow angel or a snow froggy in the snow. And he hears his mom again, Froggy, oh, what could I have possibly forgotten? Runs back, oh, you need a scarf and you need your mittens and you need your boots. Okay, Froggy puts it all on. Phew. Froggy's ready. Goes outside is ready to sled down the hill when he hears one more time the mama calls, Froggy! Oh, what now? The froggy comes back, and mama says, you forgot your underwear. Oh, my goodness. That froggy got all ready, took quite a few trips back inside to get ready for the snow. And then the joke at the end is the froggy forgot his underwear. Today's story that Pastor Paul read did not talk about underwear, but it did talk about getting ready, putting on things. We have froggy-sized things that we are told by Paul to put on. The Apostle Paul and Pastor Paul read about it today. Could you hold that a second, Teresa? So we are going to put on a froggy-sized helmet. A helmet of salvation. Can I put this on your forehead? Oh, thank you. Good. Oh, and a breastplate of righteousness, making good choices. Let's see who can... Is somebody putting this on their chest? Okay, good. Oh, got to get ready. Oh, we've got the belt of truth. Look at this little froggy-sized belt. Look at... Asher, that's for you. And as Pastor Paul read, it says, put on shoes that are good for telling about the gospel of peace. Samuel, can you stick these on your feet? The shield of faith, trusting in God. Can somebody put a shield maybe on their forearm? And then it says in that scripture, the letter to the early church, oh yeah, and use the word. That's like your sword. Be ready for that. And you can just hold that in your hand. Ooh, now we're ready. And I'm assuming we have our underwear on too. Let's pray. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that you call us to be ready. As followers of Jesus, you invite us to be ready in all of these ways, to get dressed in the armor of God. Help us to be ready. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Will you pray with me, please? Loving God, by your Spirit's power, open now our minds, our hearts, our lives, for the receiving and the living of your word. Amen. Being Christian means being in conflict. Every human life will know a measure of struggle, outward and inward struggle. But in particular, it turns out that a choice to follow Jesus is a choice to being engaged in a fight. And I don't like saying that. I don't like saying it because in the first place, it just sounds theatrical and grandiose and also weirdly paranoid. Like that bogus complaint of how persecuted we poor American Christians are, and how there's a war on Christmas and all of that. Far worse, the church has got a nasty track record through the centuries on the subject of Christian faith as fighting. So many empires, politicians, preachers, doing unspeakable, massive harm in this world under the claim that Christ wants conquest. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. Nice song. But some people really take it to heart in the most terrible ways. Take it down into real meanness and spiritual abuse. Absolute distortion of the gospel. So should a preacher really be saying, as I just did, that to follow Jesus is to enlist in a fight? What do you want to do about today's text? Here's part of it again. Take up the whole armor of God and stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword that is the Spirit, the Word of God. Do we have to have all that military imagery? I don't know about you, but I want a spiritual life that is peaceable, accepting, embracing, mindful, calm, caring, joyous, not militant. Well, too bad for me. According to our text, in Christ, we don't get a peaceable, accepting, embracing, mindful, calm, caring, joyous life apart from something also rather militant. Something that knows a war is going on and that, like it or not, we are in it. So what is the war we're in? It's massive. And it's largely unseen by our eyes. It involves forces beyond our capacity to comprehend. The text says it's not other people that we are up against, not enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil. What does that mean? The satanic? The demonic? Yes. But not just in the sense of some single evil personage or a host of evil beings. These terms, the principalities and powers, the spiritual forces of evil, this present darkness, refer also to the prevailing forces in the air at any given time, the sweeping, destructive passions and mindset of a culture or a world bigger than all of us. The evil spirits of the times we're surrounded by and caught up in. The spiritual forces of our own present darkness include hatred, fury, tribalism, racism, nationalism, consumerism, misogyny, greed, lust, waste, cowardice, despair. These and more are prevailing evil spirits in the air around us now. They are deadly, and everyone is under their assault. Human lives en masse are destroyed, souls lost, families ruined, communities poisoned, nations made sick unto death. And we, dear ones, we are in it, vulnerable as everybody else. And so here comes the call again. Put on the armor of God. But oh, I can't put on the armor of God. I can't put it on because I'm already wearing armor. I suited up myself to get through this war. I am wearing my education, certain other badges of my acceptability, I hope. I am wearing a fantastic sense of humor and charm. My invincible likability, I've got that. I'm also fortified by the happy fact that on every subject that matters, I am right. I've got the right religion, the right politics, and the right sense of morality, and I am well defended by that and by the fantastic fury I can feel with anybody who feels differently. And by no means least among the armaments that I and so many others now are deploying is cynicism. Everything made fun of. Just throw rocks at it and walk away. Pronounce judgment. Nothing ever changes. No reason for moral seriousness. No reason for spiritual engagement. No reason for joy or for hope. You see what we come wearing to the fight. We've put on the wrong armor. Better lay it down then. And better put on instead the only equipment that is effective, what the text calls the armor of God. How shall we imagine that? Well, Paul imagined it in terms of a Roman soldier's uniform, which he had seen plenty of in his time. He imagined there would be a standard belt holding loose garments together for freedom and swiftness of movement. He imagined a breastplate of hard leather to protect the vital organs. He imagined standard issue shoes, sturdy for moving and standing steadfastly. He imagined a shield which would have been tall and 4 inches thick with hardened leather and wood, and generally made in such a way that held in the forearm, 2/3 of it covered the soldier One-third covered the soldier to his one side, while the soldier on his other side covered him with his shield too. There would also be a helmet and a sword, the Roman short sword. Soldiers also carried spears among the Romans, but the writer of our text has no interest, apparently, in imagining us toting spears. And this is what he says. The belt you need is the truth. Reject every form of falsehood. Bind yourself only in what is true. How relevant is that exactly 1 week after the moment when a lawyer for the most powerful person on the planet declared to the world, truth isn't truth. This is what we've come to in the kingdom of lies that we live in. But those who are clothed in God's equipment will withstand the powers that be by holding fiercely and only to the truth. And put on the breastplate, says Paul. Call it righteousness. There's a word that doesn't make it into our public discourse. Righteous. Relentless wanting, seeking, and doing what is right. A purity of heart. Moral integrity. Kindness. Generosity. Passion for justice. Personal holiness. Put these on like the covering over your heart to keep you safe. And you'll need shoes, imagine, for the shoes you need most. The good news of peace. That's right. And the struggle for the soul of the world, what helps us to stand, is the news of peace. And you'll need a shield. Call it faith. Your confident trust, our confident trust together in God's good future for the world and for us. And your helmet, call it salvation. The assurance that God has helped and will help, and you are forever held in the strength of unfailing love. Belt, breastplate, shoes, shield, helmet. Notice all these items are for defense. Or as the text says, that you may withstand. Our business, it turns out, is not defeating, as the ultimate defeating has already been accomplished in Christ's life, death, and resurrection, and will be completed in God's time and God's way. And yet for now, we are under fire, as are countless others, and what we've been given is strategies for not succumbing to the deadly assaults. And here comes the hail of arrows. And as they fly, they scream, hate, fear, lie. They scream, you are nothing. You are alone. You are a victim. Others don't matter. Grab all you can. Keep all you can. Your life is about you. There is no hope. There is no meaning. And the arrows keep falling. But we are wearing the armor that love has clothed us with. And side by side, we are holding up our mutual shields while the arrows hit and are held and we withstand. It doesn't mean nobody gets hurt. we may well get hurt. Most of us may well be already hurt. But clothed as we are by all that love would equip us for and with, we find our way to saying in the end, as Paul himself also said, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. The assault is on. Put on the armor of God. How can we not? William Willimon, for years, was chaplain at Duke University. One day a student was talking with him and said, I have enrolled myself in a Bible study group in my dormitory. It's the first Bible study group I've ever been a part of. I've never felt a need for anything like that before. Willimon says, then why now? Why here? The kid says, do you have any idea how hard it is to be a Christian and a sophomore here at the same time? He might as well said, do you have any idea how hard it is to be human? How hard it is to love? How hard it is to keep trying and be Christian in this world all at the same time? Put on the whole armor of God. There is one more item on this list of equipment. That short sword. Take that too, says Paul. The Spirit's sword. It is the Word of God. May not appear to be much, but our only weapon is a word. What God's love has spoken to the world and to us, we speak. What Christ spoke to the powers, we speak to the powers. What Christ spoke to the people whom the powers oppress, we speak to them. The encouragement and hope and gladness that love has spoken to our fearful and failing hearts. We speak to each other. We sing to each other. We sing to the world. And as with Christ, we let that word take life in our flesh. I wonder if the arrow of the enemy that really has struck home in us and has wounded us most dangerously is the one that has screamed or whispered to us, in your life, there is nothing at stake. Just get through it. Work some, love some, enjoy. It is the foulest of lies. The world is at stake. Our children's future and their children's future and beyond are at stake in what you and I choose to do, to think, to say, to be in this present time. Your soul is at stake. And so is mine. Indifference will not do. There is a war going on. It is not ours to win. It is ours to engage in the partnership of the one who has won and will win it. Make the choice then, and let us make it newly together, as always we must. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of God's strength. For we wrestle not against blood and flesh, but against the powers of spiritual darkness. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand, and having done everything, to stand firm. Those who do will find in the end that they are not clothed in armor after all, but clothed in light, clothed in gladness, and yes, in victory. Amen. There is more reason to give in love and with thanks than we can name. There is reason also to give for the purposes God has for the church and for our lives in the world now. Let us make our giving now our worship, our faith, our hope. Almighty God, all we have is yours, and all that we are and can ever be is yours. So take our lives and lift them to your purpose. Use them for your love's sake, now and forever. Amen. Together, called together, glad together. We extend to each other the best of gifts. The peace of Christ be with you.